Blog Talk Radio.
This is the body of
Blog Talk Radio.
This is the body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, He will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth.
Woman, the goddess and her powers. Are women gods? In many cultures, women have been worshipped as gods, from Semiramis to Diana to Easter or Esther. Men have sought their favor and have killed for their love. But is this the role of the woman? Is she to be supreme ruler of all mankind, over the family, over her husband? Do women have power in this world, or are they helpless damsels in distress that need rescue? Come join us today as we discuss this topic and see what the Bible has to say of women goddess. So we'd like to welcome you to another edition of Kings and Priests. And this is a topic that we're going to be talking about. It's undeniable that many men seek the favor from women, whether it be, you know, sexual, whether it be relationships, whether it be for compassion. Men seek the favor of women, into even so much as in the past, you know, in the synopsis that, you know, we just read, is that women have been worshipped as gods. But is this the example that the scriptures is given? And I think one of the things that many people don't realize is that women are powerful, especially in this world. So this is something that we're going to talk about, and how women got this power, and how are they supposed to use the power that the Lord has given them, and what other powers, because they're getting other powers that they're using, but they're not from the Most High, they're from Satan. So we'd like to welcome you again to another edition of Kings and Priests. I'm your brother Godawan here in the UK and London. You know, my voice is going a little bit. I've got a little cold, but, you know, we're going to soldier on as good soldiers. Also, we have another brother joining us who does a show on Friday nights on the Sabbath Eve. We have the brother Ibaja. Ibaja.
All righty. Yeah, most high in the name of Christ. Bless everyone. It's good to be here. And I was just kind of updating the synopsis there for our listeners. So if they, you know, for ones that actually join in a little bit later, or if the people care to refresh their browsers, they'll see the changes there. But, yeah, it's good to be here.
All right. So, you know, some of the opening statements that we said, I mean, what do you think about that? Is it true? Do women have power in this world?
Well, it is. No.
All right, I think we lost Abadja. And I see we got another call of 44573. You on the air?
Yes. This is Yawana Singh, giving all praise to the Heavenly Father and Son Christ.
Hey, Shalom. How you doing, bro?
I'm okay.
And same question goes out to you. Do women have power in this world?
Yes, in this world, because the world itself doesn't follow or acknowledge or fear the Heavenly Father. I mean, I know we're going to get into it in this show. Though they say we love God, but when you get down to the brass tacks of the word of the Heavenly Father, they don't fear the Heavenly Father. And therefore, if you don't follow the Father, it's only two choices, like Christ says. You're going to either follow the Heavenly Father or you're going to follow Satan. So in a straight, direct way, yeah, women have power in this world, and it's not of the Heavenly Father, and they're following Satan.
And in saying that, saying that women are goddesses, I mean, are women taught that? Or they taught that point blank? Let me put it that way.
They're taught in a manner that, you know, you are a diva, you are glamorous, you are whatever you want to be, and they're not taught that, look, you are a daughter of the Heavenly Father, daughter of Zion, and you need to humble yourself to the word of the Father and do what the Heavenly Father says and follow His Son Christ. So, yeah, they talk to Him and empower themselves. I mean, it's one thing to be have confidence about yourself on a daily basis, but then it's another thing to carry yourself in a manner that is totally, totally against the word of the Heavenly Father. Therefore, you create monsters.
Yeah, and you said something very interesting. You used the word, you said diva. Now, most women are like, okay, this person is a diva. You know, we had, you know, the song I'm Every Woman, which is like the woman's national anthem for all women everywhere to empower themselves. You know, even if you listen at the words of the song, you know, it's talking about a woman having powers and different things she can do on you know, a supernatural basis. But if you look at the definition of diva, I'm going to read that. And I think some people would be surprised. It says, especially women that call themselves Christians or followers of Christ or followers of the Bible. It says, diva, definition one, prima donna. Number two, a usual glamorous and successful female performer or personality. Popular female singer like Whitney Houston, you know, the Most High rest her soul. Italian, literally goddess from Latin, feminine of devious, divine, God. And it actually comes from, Eastern cultures where diva was one of those Indian goddesses. So people call themselves divas or you're actually calling yourself a god and you don't even know it. So it's very subversive. It's very subtle. But yes, women are taught that they are supreme, you know, over their families, over their husbands. And this is something that we're going to be discussing. But in saying that, I think we dropped a big bombshell that many people don't know about. But this is the emphasis, you know, but where does this come from? Are we biblically justified to say that? I think we've got Abadja back.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to call it drop, but you wanted to basically say everything that I was going to go into as far as, you know, how that power is given in this world versus what the Heavenly Father set up.
Are we biblical justified to say, you know, the teaching or women think that they are goddesses?
Are we biblically justified?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Come on, get it together. Which one it is? Which one is it?
We're justified to say that the way that the society, how we're speaking of this diva mentality, this the woman first mentality, okay, all of that. I'm not saying beat a woman down, say she ain't nothing.
No, you don't have to say that, because when we speak in biblical correct, we make no apologies. Don't make any apologies.
Right.
So I'm gonna get straight to the matter, brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the book of Genesis, the third chapter, and we're gonna start from verse 1, because this is where the woman gets her power in this world. When I say this world, I'm talking about a satanically controlled world. And let's read it. Because who was the power and what was the order in the ancient world?
The power was the creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God.
I mean, who did he get his power on the earth? Who had the dominion and rulership over everything?
Oh, it was Adam.
It was Adam. Okay.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. So somebody get that and read Genesis 3, verse 1.
Okay, I have it. Genesis chapter 3 and 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast in the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden.
Hmm.
And the woman said," so go ahead.
Yeah, keep reading.
Okay, and the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die."
Now, where does she get this information from?
She got this information from her husband.
Oh. She got this information from her husband. So in this world, a lot of women, they feel, disempowered. They're looking for power. They're looking for power. Man can't tell me what to do. How many times have you heard that in media, television, movies, radio, internet, whatever? How many times have you heard that?
You hear it all the time.
You hear it all the time. So here it is. Satan didn't go to, the serpent did not go to the man. He went to the woman to trick her with her own lust. So she had information from her husband, who was a righteous man. They wasn't living in the ghetto. They wasn't living in a shack. They was living in paradise in the Garden of Eden, and they were both there enjoying it. So now, keep reading.
Okay. Now, verse 4. Verse 5. But God doth know.
So before I continue, they didn't have financial problems, did they?
They didn't have no problem whatsoever.
They didn't have marital problems. Huh?
In that garden, the Heavenly Father gave them eternal life at this point, immortality, like the scriptures tell you.
So was a woman a dummy?
No.
No, what did she have at this point?
Everything.
She had everything she could want and need. All of that was different.
She had knowledge. She had the godly knowledge, but it was given to Adam and given to her through her husband Adam, but it wasn't withheld from her. You know how, like, you have certain cultures, like the woman is dumb, she can't know what the man knows, this is privileged information. She knew exactly what Adam knew, right or wrong,
right?
Because that's what they try to tell you, to put enmity between the man and the woman. Oh, you know, men is holding things back. He got secrets. See, girl, you got to know his secrets. You got to get his PIN number for his phone and know what the hell is going on. The woman knew everything that Adam knew because he told her, because he loved her. So read on.
Okay. Well, Genesis chapter 3 and 5. But God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open.
So what is that presenting there? Here's those secrets. Here's those secrets Adam didn't tell you. These are secrets that Adam didn't tell you. See, he's hiding something from you. See, God knows. God's dealing with Adam. God knows you eat that tree, see? Hold something back. And that's something that women really hate. They hate it when a man don't tell them. So you should have told me. You lied to me. Right? Read on.
Right. It says, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
So what's a female god?
Goddess.
God.
Women are the goddess. So right. Who was approached with this? The man?
Woman was approached with this by Satan.
The woman. Now, look and see what happens. Read the next verse.
Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat.
So what happened?
She got persuaded by the serpent.
Huh?
I was going to say she took this bandage back to her husband.
Huh?
I said I was going to say she took this madness back to her husband, and they both indulged into this madness.
Okay, yeah, that's what happened. Abadji, what you got to say?
No, basically she allowed herself to be persuaded by the serpent. Because it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, the Heavenly Father already told her what the purpose of that tree was, but it just goes to show you that even though we're talking about women, just with people in general, we allow ourselves to be persuaded by our own lust and our own desires to go against the commandments of the Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
But even going more so into the point that Jonathan had brought out, It says in verse 6 also, it says that what? And she did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So the buck was supposed to start with him, but he yielded to his woman instead of standing firm in the commandments of the Heavenly Father, and here we are today.
Okay. Well, let me put it this way for you. Certain people has called this show Darkness of Light. This is Darkness of Light, the light version. So I'm going to give you some darkness and light information. Everything that Satan does is a perversion of what the Most High does. So now, the Most High deals with the man and made him the head over his house. Satan dealt with who?
The woman.
So now the woman is given who knowledge and information? It's been flipped. It's been reversed, hasn't it?
Yeah,
so what happened was is that the Most High gave this information to Adam, and he's given it to his wife. Now Satan is giving this information to the woman, and now the woman is giving it to her husband. So the woman was always supposed to submit and be that help to the man, so they both serve God together in righteousness and peace and joy and love and all those things. But what was Satan doing? He came to destroy that. So what did he do? He got to the woman. He tricked the woman. Like, you can have this power. You can possess these things. You can be the goddess. And now the man has to get information from the woman. See how it flipped? You see the perversion?
Yeah.
So now you have men that bow down to women for many different things in this world. Many men don't own their own house, but I bet you a woman owns a house. Or the woman's name is on the deed, so who has the power? So men no longer are taught to be men. They look at women as, you know, the power in the house and the family. You know, men aren't taught to be, you know, the leaders in the family. Even you see that in a movie. You look at a lot of movies, especially when it comes to black people. You really don't see strong male figures. What kind of strong figures do you see?
Always your grandmama, your aunt, your mama, somebody, you know?
Yeah, never the daddy. The daddy's broke, a joke, a fake, a dog, or something else that's derogatory. But this is a trick. because we were supposed to do it together. A man was supposed to love his wife, and a woman was supposed to be there and use the power that the Lord had given her to help her husband so that they could both serve the Lord together and have all the good things that the Lord had created, that the earth provided. But we were tricked. The women were tricked into thinking that they could have this power and there would not be consequences. So what was the consequence of women getting that satanically inspired power and to go against the Heavenly Father? They wanted to go toe-to-toe, blow for blow with the Most High in Christ. They were tricked. What was the consequence of that? Let's go to verse 16.
Genesis 3:16. And unto the woman he said, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
Right. So, number one, the Lord said what? That when women would have children, they would have great pains in their delivery. So that's a reminder to all women that what? The sin that Eve did, how she dishonored the Heavenly Father and went against the commandments and basically blew it. Blew it. She wanted power. This is a result of women wanting power for themselves and not listening to a righteous man. Because we know there's many men out there that is wicked. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Adam and Eve, Adam was the son of God. Eve was the daughter of God. We were children of the Heavenly Father, and we broke that commandment because women wanted power. They wanted to be the goddess. And many women still want that today. They want that satanically inspired power rather than to submit to the Heavenly Father and his son Christ, which is a man. They want to have the power for themselves. They want to be a diva, all these different things. Well, this is the punishment. The Lord reiterated what was supposed to happen, that the woman was supposed to be under her man. And under her man doesn't mean under his big crusty toe. It means that he was going to love her, protect her, and they were supposed to enjoy life together. But after that point, were they just going to be, everything was going to be all good?
No.
No, the man was going to have to go and till the ground by the sweat of his brow. That's why people complain about work. You know, I say it to everyone. I'm going to work. I'm talking to people like, yeah, work this. I'm like, well, it wasn't meant to be this way. We were supposed to be in the garden just relaxing, chilling, you know, things growing by itself. You just, man, I want an orange, an apple. It just grow, you know. I don't worry about that. It's just over there, man. Strawberries, it's just over there, man. We wasn't supposed to worry about that. But it's something that happened, and it's something that's still happening today in this time that people are still playing this out on a global scale. But the man was supposed to be over the woman. So the Lord reiterated it to her. You were supposed to listen to your husband and what your husband was telling you from me. Not his own agenda. You know, I'm going to pimp out my wife to make that money. That's not what a man was supposed to be doing. But so often, especially in the so-called black community, it's like, you know, the epitome of our men is some kind of pimp or player or drug dealer, you know, some kind of, you know, just a evil, wicked man. You don't see men being like Christ. And many women, that's what they're looking for. I'm looking for a hard man. So if you, some man that really know how to deal with me, he can't handle me. Because they think they're some kind of goddess. It's a trick. It's a trick. So what I want to talk about now is some of the powers that women have in this world. Because the Bible explicitly talks about them. We're going to start with the bad, and we're going to go to the good. So I want to start, and let's look at Proverbs 7. Let's go to Proverbs, the 7th chapter. Because many men, they get into situations of like, how did a woman talk me into that situation? Adam in the Garden of Eden,
It's like, how do you get into that situation?
Because he wanted the love of the woman more than the love of God. And many men are caught into that situation where they want the love of the woman more than they want the love of God. So read Proverbs 7, verse 1.
All right. It's Proverbs 7 and 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee.
Mm-hmm.
Keep my commandments and live, and my laws as the apple of thine eye.
Mm-hmm.
Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman.
So this is advice that's given to a son, and it's telling him to look out for something. It's telling him, giving him orders and things that he's supposed to do. Read on.
Here's the punchline. Verse 5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words.
Mm. So what women can use words to overcome a man's resolve. It's like a Jedi mind trick. It's like, you going to give me that money to get my hair done. I will give you the money to get your hair done. How much do you need? You know, it says with the strange woman, with the stranger, with flattering words. Now, what are some of the flattering words that women will use? Oh, you smell good. You look good. Look at your hair, this and that. And they have some kind of agenda. This is what this is talking about. To keep thee from the strange woman. The strange woman is what? A woman that's not in the commandments. A woman that's up to no good. She's a strange woman. Go ahead. Verse 6.
Right. From the stranger that flattereth with her words. Mm-hmm. Verse 6. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding.
So who's going to get caught by this? This is someone that's simple. And the scriptures tell us about those that's simple, those that's not keeping the commandments. Because once you learn the commandments, it takes you from being someone that's simple, and it converts you into being someone that's wise if you follow what the scriptures are saying to you. Verse 8.
Verse 8. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house.
So but before we continue, can women make men feel good by the things that they say?
Yes, they can, and this is proof of it.
Yeah, women can compliment a man. Look, baby, you can do it. You can go out there, get that money, or, you know, they can bolster men by their words. It's a power. Some women use it for good. More than not, women use it for evil. Read on.
Yeah, and mind you, says trespassing through the street near her corner. So you know what you find on street corners. Anyway.
What do you find on street corners? What do you find on street corners?
Horse, the strange woman.
Yeah. Harlot. Harlot, whore, strange woman, prostitute, you know, women that are not godly. That's what you will find. We have to spell it out. brothers, not everyone's going to like this message. Not everyone liked Christ's message. He was coming and healing people, but he took the cloak off so they didn't have any cloak for their sins. And that's the same thing that we're supposed to do. And remember, this is just for those that are in Christ and for the brothers that's on the show. Remember, Christ said if you're doing your job, the world is going to hate you because they hated me. So just make sure that we do our job and that we don't pull any punches. So read on.
All right, I'm going to start at verse 8 again. It says, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, what's that?
Go ahead.
In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night.
Yeah, hanging out at nighttime. The woman's supposed to be out in the dark at nighttime. Read on.
Verse 10.
Not up to. I'm not. When I say that, I'm not talking about. Oh, when it gets sundown, all women have to be inside. You know, people know what they're doing when they're out at night. People going to a club or this and that. There's things that we're supposed to do in a godly fashion. If you're saying that you're following Christ, you're following the Lord. There's things that we're supposed to do. So read on.
Verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart.
So what it's saying is that, you know, this guy who was simple, he's out in the street at night on the corners, and what? He met a woman who was dressed like a hoe, a whore, a prostitute, and what was in her mind? What was in her mind?
Yeah, it's going to tell you as we read on.
No, what was in her mind? What did it say? What was her heart like?
Subtle.
Now, what does that make you think of?
Ulterior motives.
You're missing it. What does it make you think of?
The serpent and Eve and wickedness.
So she doesn't have this woman who's in the attire of a harlot. She doesn't have the mindset of God. She has the mindset of Satan, because that's the mindset of Satan. He was the one that was tricky. I'm going to use the Gollum word. You tricky. You tricksy. That's the mindset of Satan, to be, you know, to be deceitful, to have that subtleness of heart. She got a game plan, but it's not of the Most High. Read on, verse 11.
Verse 11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house.
Now, that's interesting. It says her feet abide not in her house, and we're gonna get into that, because a woman, she has the power to build her house under her husband through Christ, and she also has the power to destroy her house, to destroy her husband, to destroy her children. So that is saying something there when it says her feet abide not in our house. But we're going to get into that later when we look at the powers that the woman have on the light side, or when they're following the Heavenly Father in Christ, more importantly. Let's use that terminology. So it says she's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in the house because she's not taking care of the things of her house. She's not taking care of her responsibilities. How many times, you brothers, you heard about that when they say that about a man? You're not taking care of your responsibilities. How many times have you heard that said?
You hear it all the time.
Especially about the Negro man, Latino man, especially about those two. You're not taking care of your responsibility. You're not taking care of your kids. You're not handling your business in the bedroom, this, that, and otherwise. How many times have you heard that?
Yes.
So when it says her feet abide not in a house, that's what it's talking about. She's not taking care of her responsibilities. She's not taking care of her children. She's not taking care of her husband. She's not being that virtuous woman that it talks about in Proverbs 31. So what is she doing out in the street? Read on.
Verse 12. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner.
What's she waiting for? What's she waiting for? Who's she waiting? Now she in the streets, lying in wait at every corner. The scriptures speak about how, you know, murderers lie in wait. The lion lieth in wait for his prey. What is she laying in wait for? Read on.
The simple man. Verse 13.
Yeah. Read on.
So she caught him.
Who caught who? Who she caught?
That simple man.
She caught the simple man. Now, many women will complain, oh, I found this man and he's no good. Well, who were you looking for? You caught a simple man. I beheld among the simple ones and discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding. So, you know, many women said, man, you got a boy. You didn't catch a man. That's what the scriptures are saying. Because that's who you were looking for. You just got any old guy out there. Well, he don't know how to take care of the children. He don't know how to treat a woman. The scripture said he's a man void of understanding. Because if you get a man of the Lord, is he going to know how to treat a woman?
Yes, he will.
Of course. Because the Bible is telling you how to treat a wife, not a girlfriend, not a plaything, not a sex toy. Is telling you how to treat a wife. It's telling you that you're supposed to put a ring on it. You're not supposed to, yeah, I hit it, I got it, I hit it, and I quit it, and now I forgot it, I'm going to forget it. No, that's not what the scriptures are saying. But many women are running into this because they think they're something. They think they're the goddess. But you're not. You have to repent through Christ and turn your back on all the powers and benefits that Satan is offering in this world. Because Satan is telling you, you could be a god in this world. That's what Satan is telling a woman. You could be a diva. You go, girl. That's what they're telling you, every woman. You got the power. No man can tell you what to do. Call the cops on the cops to come. Just say that he hit you. And the cops will beat him black and blue and throw him in jail. And the man looked at stupid like, what happened? So read on. She caught
him. Verse 13, she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face said unto him.
So what an impudent face means, a shameless face. You ever heard that term, there's no shame in my game?
Mm-hmm.
So many women that's in that mindset that they're the goddess, the, you know, the final word, that final, they have the final word. There's no shame in their game with the things that they do. Read on, verse 14.
I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee.
So here's those flattering words. It said, when she said, I come forth to meet thee, meaning meet you, it's talking about that person specifically. Now, was she looking for that person specifically?
No, she was looking for any foolish man that would be found by her wit.
But the man believed it. Damn, she was looking for me. I'm the one she looking for. I'm going to be her daddy. She make that man believe this woman was just out. I'm the one. Therefore, I came forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, your face. I was looking for you. You know how I was looking for you? And I found thee. Read on. So women are powerful with their words. People sleep on it, but the scriptures is telling us so. So you won't get caught by these kind of women. These women are supposed to be, and what they were made to be is those godly women to help, to be the helper, to help us serve God, and then we were supposed to enjoy the good things that the Lord had created for us on this earth. Read on.
Verse 16, I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works of fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning.
It says, I prefer my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. That's very suggestive, isn't it?
Yeah, come on, get some of this.
And what man doesn't like a good-smelling woman?
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Y'all both men. What man don't like a good-smelling woman?
No.
You smell that perfume. Damn, baby, you smell good. Come on. Read on. You were saying something, John?
No, I was going to say, that's right. I mean, this is all to allure of a man. But, yeah. I don't think no man likes a stink-smelling woman, you know?
you said it right, bro. Read on.
Verse 17, I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves.
Right. So go ahead. She tell him everything. Well, you going to get something tonight. Read on.
That sounds like dang every other so-called R&B song that I ever heard.
There you go. There you go.
Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Ain't nothing new under the sun, man.
Nope, nothing new under the sun, bro. Read on.
Verse 19. Ooh, here we go. For the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey.
So wait a minute. She got a man. So what is she talking about? I came out here specifically looking for you. You got a man. See, now do you understand what it says? Her feet abide not in her house? Is she taking care of her responsibilities?
No, apparently not.
Hmm? No.
Not know what we're reading here.
She's looking for somebody else. Her feet abide not in her house. She's not taking care of her husband. The man's gone. He's working. And how many times have you said, oh, you were gone. You was gone. You was away. You was working too much. Like, it's damn to you. Well, if I work, I got a job. It's like, okay, he broke. He ain't got no job. Well, you got a job. You working too much.
you know. Wait, you want to say something, John?
No, no, go ahead, bro. Go ahead. Because this is all true in many aspects. It might not be the woman that's decked out. It might be the woman sitting at the bar. It might be the woman in the grocery store. It might be the woman wherever your walks of life. But with this mentality of trying to catch someone and then do what these scriptures are saying, this is what's out here. And that's what's being promoted. You know?
Yeah, definitely. Every day. This is what they're telling, you know, women. This is what they're telling our children. So read on, verse 20.
Boy, talk about creeping.
Boy, this is creeping on the highest level. And there's no higher creeper than women because they have to use their mind. Women don't use brute force. What do they use? They use their satanic power of subtlety to get what they want. But you don't have to do that. If we deal in Christ, then you'll get the things that you need and the things that you want. Because most people, what do they want? They want to be happy. They want to have peace. They want to be love. Now, if you want to rule over the man and change the man into what image you want to be, then that's where a lot of women have problems. But we're supposed to conform to the image of Christ. Men are supposed to conform to the image of Christ, and that's what a husband's supposed to teach his wife, that she is supposed to follow the commandments and do the things that's right as far as loving him and loving their children and they, you know, rearing strong families where there's peace in the home. Read on.
All right. Verse 19. For the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed.
Read on.
With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield.
Mm.
With the flattering of
so
her lips,
what?
She forced him.
Read that again.
The whole thing or the second part?
The whole thing.
Okay, verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield.
Mm. Is that not power?
Oh, here comes your brute force, though. It says, with the flattering of her lips, she forced him.
Right. She got him to do what she wanted him to do with the force of her voice. With the force of her voice, the flattering words, the flattering of her lips, she forced him. You would think, well, wait a minute. You got a man. No, he gone. He's not treating me right. He's not treating me, you know, good, or, you know, he's gone away. So, you know, I need some man to come in his place and, you know, deal with me right. So, like, well, man, you know, the guy ain't treating you right, you know. Now he think he's a hero. It's a sad thing, but that's the subtlety of Satan. And this is the power that women have to deny and put off. And they have to take on, they have to submit themselves to the will of the Heavenly Father. But submitting themselves to that will of the Heavenly Father means they lose these powers that they have over men. Because if we be honest, women have power over men. Men that's not in the scriptures. Women can push men's buttons at the speed of thought. It is boom, I got you. Boom, I know where your button is. Oh, he likes sex. He likes sex on a Thursday. What? I'm going to tell him I got a headache on Thursday. Well, you know, girls, I'm not. Nope. So read on. By her voice, she caused this man to yield to what she wanted him to do. Read on.
Verse 22. Actually, let me read 21 before I read 22.
Go ahead.
It says, with a much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks.
Mm. So he goeth after her straight away. So it didn't take much convincing, did it?
No.
It didn't take much convincing. So I remember, you know, being a young man in the truth, and it was me and another brother. We was in Manhattan. And the brother was, you know, he had his oil table selling oils. That's one of the things, you know, brothers used to do back in the past. They didn't have jobs or whatever. They would sell oils and incense. So there was this Puerto Rican sister. Fine Puerto Rican sister came up. And, boy, she was liking me.
And so, you know, the, back then, the first thing we had, we didn't have all the pieces of marriage. So we asked, I would ask her, you know, do you have a man? So her question was, and she said, yeah, I got a man. But then a friend jumped in, but like, yeah, but she liking you. What a man got to do with it? And the brother, he, the other brother that was, he's younger than true, he's like, man, well, she look good. I was like, and the scriptures, you know, the Most High really had mercy on me to keep the scriptures in my mind, because I was like, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. How am I going to do that and be a man of the Lord? It was like Joseph, not that I'm comparing myself to Joseph. I'm comparing as far as the acts that he resisted. You know, I was just like, nah, that's not right. And so I had to wave bye-bye. But she bad. She looked good. She was bad. But many men, they don't give up a fight. Even they know that the woman has a man, the woman can twist it so she can get what she wants. That is a power. That is a power. And it's satanically inspired. So, Rita, it says, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Read on. Have I lost everybody? Okay, I see. I've lost a few people. It says, verse 24, it says, hearken unto me, therefore, O ye children, and tend to the words. Verse 23, it says, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, you children, and attend to the words of our mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Now, see, we got,
okay, I'm back.
We got a project by it. You see, he said many strong men have been slain by her. So many people sleep on the power of women, because, and many women don't know that they possess these powers. You know, they just know, okay, I do this thing and it works. And they don't know that it's Satan. It's devilish. It's sensual. But it's not of the Lord for you to do those things. For you to commit adultery on your husband, that's not of the Lord. I got a little bit on the side. He don't want to act right. He don't want to do right. He don't want to make me the climax of the come. I'll get me someone to do me right and sex me right. That's not of the Lord. What is that going to bring? It's going to bring death and destruction. And it's saying she have cast down many strong men that have been slain by her. So verse 27. Read that.
All right. Verse 27. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death.
So it's telling you what the end of that road is. You're going to deal with a married woman. Here's a woman that's out on the street, just a strange woman. You don't know her from Eve, Ruth, or Mary, or Sarah. And you just, oh, hey, I met one night stand. That's proverbial one night stand, isn't it?
Right.
She just met. What happened to you? You know, you meet someone, you're supposed to try the spirit to see where they are of God. No. And most men, they're not looking for a godly woman. Let's be honest. They're not looking for a godly woman. They're looking for a woman that is loose, that's going to give it to them up on the first date or the first time they meet. But where is that going to lead you? It's going to lead you to hell, and it's going to lead you to your death. And most men, that's why you die early. Because a woman is giving you so much hell and problems, but you thought you found the goddess. So on that, we're gonna take a short break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to continue to talk about the different powers that women have. Are they from the Most High, or are they from Satan? So stay tuned.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
Priests, women, the goddess, and her powers. This is what we're talking about today. I'd like to thank everyone that's called into the show. My brother Abaja, Yawanathon, you know, everyone that's called in, everyone that's in the chat room that's joined us today. A. Brown, 29, Amo, 41, Ashba, Emotional Sister, Golden Girl, 46, all our guests, Kid Ice, Maestro D, Pammy with the Whammy, Peace with Lily, Tim, 1201 and the Young Prophet. You know, we're talking about this woman, women having these powers. Where did they come from the beginning? They were given to them by Satan to rule over men, and the natural order of things has been unbalanced. Now, what is the natural order of things? Before we go back and look at some of these different powers of things that women have, what is the natural order according to the scriptures? Let's get that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and the 3rd verse. Now, I know many so-called Christian women, when they see this in the Bible, they will disavow the scriptures. They will say, no, well, that's not my Jesus. That doesn't describe my Jesus and how I serve the Lord. Because they don't want to be under the power of a man. They want their own power, that which was given to them by Satan. Now the woman had the information, and now she would give this information to the man. And that's not how the Lord created things to be. So let's read it, 1 Corinthians 11 and 3.
1 Corinthians 11, verse 3.
They're looking for that man with sensitivity so they can tell him what to do. This is what I want. You want to be with me, then you're going to listen to what I say, how I want the children, what the name of children, how the children are going to live, what religion the children, everything is going to be done how I want it in my house. But is this what the Lord said? Read.
1 Corinthians 11 and 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ.
The head of every man is who?
Jesus Christ.
So is Christ telling the man what he's supposed to do in this life?
You better believe it.
Is it to bitch slap his wife?
No, Christ would never tell a man to
do that. Is it to be mean and evil to his wife?
No, because the scripture
is it to hurt her? Is it to treat her like a god?
No.
Is it to drink her bath water? No. The head of every man is Christ.
The first thing that Christ was telling man to do was to do what? Is to repent. And many things that men have to repent, especially how they treat women. Because, let's face it, what man is being taught of how to treat a woman? I wasn't taught how to treat a woman. And I went to church most of my, as far as I can remember, I was in the church. From the age of 5 years old, I was in the church. I would go by myself. Mother never told me to go. I went by myself. But I didn't learn that in the church.
Right.
I learned it by dealing with Christ and dealing with the Bible, how you're supposed to love your wife. So many women, they're not being taught on how to love a man or to treat a man. What they taught is that they're the diva, which is just another word for goddess, which is just another word for divine. That's what it is. They taught they're the ones with the power, that they have that vagina power, and they will be the rulers of the universe. But that's not what the scriptures say. So let's read on and see what the scriptures say.
Right, and then you know what else?
Go ahead, bro.
Before we move on, First Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." So Christ left an example for us to follow, how to treat, how to be, how to live on every angle of our lives. He left that example. But here's the point, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So when we couple that up with what we just read, that the head of every man is Christ, Christ did not teach us any wickedness to treat a woman. So if a man is treating a woman that way, he's not humbling himself and returning back to the Heavenly Father's Son Christ and hearing his words. Because Christ did not teach us to treat our women in a wicked manner. There was no guile or talk of evil and wickedness in his mouth.
Right.
So if
right.
men are doing that, it's because we are corrupt and not following that path.
But you look at it, John. Who are most men taught by?
Their mothers. And yeah, and the examples on TV and everything else.
Yeah, the highest influence that a man has is his mother. What is she teaching him? But let's go back and read 1 Corinthians 11. Let's stay on task.
Yes. It says 1 Corinthians 11:3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man."
Oh, and there's women all over the world screaming right now, saying, "Hell no, never going to happen." Even women go to the point and say, "My daddy doesn't tell me what to do." So that says a lot, because the Most High is our Heavenly Father. So you're not saying you're going to be disobedient to the Most High, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. You know, and that's what many women are doing by proxy of Satan, by following this world, by proxy of following this world. They think, well, this is how a woman's supposed to be. No. Any woman that is saying that, I listen to about, you're a weak woman, you ain't strong, you listen to your husband. You know, I can remember a story, just to deal with that point. My wife, you know, speaking to a particular woman, and a woman said, "Oh, your hair looks nice, how much you spend?" It's like, you know, spend like 80 pounds or something to get her hair done. And it's like, "Oh, that's a lot of, are you going to tell your husband?" "I won't tell your husband that." So don't tell my husband that, he's the one that gave me the money. So it's just it's the mentality. It's like, why would you not tell your husband? You know, the same thing that women are so upset about. You keeping secrets from me. Then they keep secrets. Because it's to have a secret, to have that information is power. See, they're looking for power, not knowing that they already have it and how they're supposed to use it in a godly fashion and deny the different satanic powers that Christ has out there. So the head of the woman is the man. Read on.
Right. And the head of Christ is God.
So all our orders and everything is coming from who? It's coming from the Heavenly Father. It's coming from the Most High. And what the Lord wants for us is good things. He explained it. He said, look, if a man's son asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent?
Right.
No, he's going to give him the good things. He said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give unto you? So people don't understand they look at the world, why the Lord allowed this to happen? Why the Lord ain't, people are doing evil on this earth. People are doing this evil. People are fierce. People are incontinent. People are adulterers. People are murderers. You know, God's going to stop it, but he's looking for those that's going to be faithful and repent and turn unto him before it's showtime. Because when God show up, it's a show. When the Lord manifests his power, it's a show. He don't do small. He does big. The Lord showed up at the flood. That wasn't small, now was it?
No, it wasn't.
There were eight people that made it. So the
whole
scripture
world
says, you know, the righteous shall scarcely be saved. And most people, they're not concerned. They just want to follow this world, which is going to lead them to hell and death and many problems. Many people are in problems. Many women are in problems with this goddess mentality that think they are the shiznil, they're on the top, they're this, and they're into many problems. They're in many problems with men. You know, ain't no man good enough for me. Well, the Lord told you there's nobody good. There's no women that's good. There's no men that's good. That's why we need Christ to show us what's right from wrong, because we ain't no good. So let's go to Proverbs 30 and 20, and let's look at this. This is very interesting. This scripture here, let's talk about it. This is another one of those powers that women have. And men definitely don't have this power. If they got this power, boy, they definitely learned it from a woman. Read on Proverbs 30, verse 20.
Proverbs 30 and 20 reads, it says, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learn wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended, who hath gathered the wind in his fist.
Hold on. That's not it. Proverbs 30 and 20.
30 and 20?
30
Zero?
And 20. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was reading 30 and 2. Proverbs 30 and verse 20. It says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness.
So it's speaking about a woman and adulterous acts that she's done. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and say, I have done no wickedness. I mean, how many times have you heard a woman say that? You know, the woman commit adultery and then tell the man, not only tell the man, but convince the man that it's his fault. How many times have you heard that? It was your fault. You shouldn't have left me on my own. I was lonely. I didn't have nobody. You've been working all the time. You always at your mama's house. Wipe of her mouth. I've done no wickedness. Get over it. You should have been home more. It's like they have no guilt. They have no guilty conscience. That is a serious thing. Many men are out there raising children that's not theirs. They don't even know. The woman always knows who the daddy is. You know, just go watch the Murray Show, Women Shocked. Oh, shocked. I thought for sure it was yours. Well, if you're dealing with more than one man, then you got to say, well, you know, well, look, you might not be the daddy because so-and-so, me and so-and-so were getting it on at the same time. Do women know that information?
Of course they do.
So that's a serious thing for a woman to have that in their hearts and their minds, to know that the child is not the man's, or know that the possibility that the man may be raising a child is not hers. That's serious. That's a serious satanic power. But women are tricked to think like, look, you know, men has treated women so bad for so long. Girl, he deserve it. That's Satanism. That's of the devil. That's of Satan. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. But if you want to roll with Satan, you want to be the diva, you want to be the goddess, this is the kind of mentalities or thoughts that are put into women's head that is not good, that keeps men and women set apart and at each other's throats. That's the enemy's plan always and forever. Not for us to come together and enjoy the good things that the Lord has created for us here on this earth. Because the Lord created everything and he saw that it was what? that it was bad, that it was good. So everything in the earth that was created, it was supposed to be for our benefit. It wasn't supposed to be for our death or our destruction. It was created, God saw that it was good, and then he gave it to us, all the good things for us to enjoy. But when we turn on him, then he turned on us. And Christ is the Redeemer to bring us back to that state where we can have those blessings in paradise. But women have to get over this I'm the goddess mentality. Now, another thing I want to look at, let's go to the book of Judges 14 and 12. And I want to see if you brothers can suss this this power out that women use over men. Read Judges 12 to 17. Judges the 14th chapter and the 12th verse. Let's start there.
Okay. All right. Judges chapter 14 and verse 2. You said verse 2, right?
12.
Okay. Judges 14.
I wasn't comfortable about too much. You're getting scriptural dyslexia.
Judges,
go ahead, bro.
Hold on 1 second. I'm in the wrong book. There we go. Judges 14 and 12. And it reads, it says, and Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you.
Mm-hmm.
If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then will I give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments.
Now, just to give a brief, who was Samson, Yehonathan?
Samson was a judge of the children of Israel long ago. He was a judge that judged over Israel during the time that the Heavenly Father was about to stir up Israel against these the nations here. Be particular the Philistines here, to have them to stop being up under them and to come back to the Heavenly Father.
But what's one of the things, the principal things that Samson is known for?
Samson was known as the physically strongest man on earth. Like, you know how they have all these strongman competitions now. That was light. That was light. That was all even lightweight to Samson. That was nothing. That was a joke compared to what Samson can do.
So okay. Let's see how Samson fell. Read on.
Right. Wow. I'm in.
Go ahead.
I'm in Judges 14 now in verse
13.
15. Oh, hold on. Verse 14. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat.
No, read 13. We have
13. Okay. And it says, but if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle.
So Samson put forth this riddle. He's like, look. Out for the eater came meat. Out for the strong came sweet. And it was like, what the hell does this riddle mean? They couldn't figure it out. Read on.
And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee in thy father's house with fire. And he called us to take that we have. Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother. And shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came
so she,
to pass,
she wanted to know the riddle so she could save her family.
Right?
So what did she want? She wanted the power. Because all she had to do was tell her husband, Samson, look, these people. And what would have happened?
It would have been the end of it.
Samson was the baddest judge, the strongest man in the world at that time. He would destroy them. He's like, what? They said what? Done. He killed 5,000 with the jawbone of an ass. He didn't have no sword. Imagine if he had swords, spears, and shields. Good grief.
Right.
He did it with bones.
Mm-hmm.
So all she had to do was tell her husband, look, this is what's going on. But no, it wasn't full disclosure. I'm going to save my family. This is what they said. And that's what many women do. They like, okay, I'm going to do this. And rather than saying me and my husband are in this together, no, I have the power. Read on.
Right.
Women think they're darn She-Ra. They got the power. No. You're supposed to be in line with the words of the Heavenly Father and His Christ and deal with your husband and vice versa. Read on.
Verse 17. And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her because she lay sore upon him.
So,
and she told the riddle to the children of her people.
So what was the power that she used to convince her? Flattering words?
She used her emotional side.
She tried the words, didn't she?
Yeah.
She tried the words. That didn't work. So what did she do?
Started whining and crying.
Crying. Women use crying to get what they want. Right or wrong?
Yeah.
Women will put them crying and crocodile tears on you. And you'd be giving them all your money. Oh, I just feel so hurt. He hurt me. And, you know, I just need you to do this and that. And, you know, this, I just had it so bad. But was what she was doing was right? No, she betrayed her husband. She wasn't honest with her husband. And we see so many times when people go to deceive, it don't end well. And did it end well for her? And her family?
No.
No. And her family perished, didn't they?
Right.
Her and her father, they were burnt the hell up. Because once Samson fought, oh, you tricked me. You plowed with my heifer. So he went out and burned their fields, and then they came back and burnt her and her family up. So she still lost. So this is what happens when women give in to the wickedness of Satan and try to use those satanically inspired powers. I'm going to cry to get what I want from my man. What? Sarah wanted something. She said, look, tell Hagar and her kid to get out. You're not going to be heirs with mine. So did she go and cry and plead? No, she told them. But what she was saying was right from the Most High. And how did that work out? Huh?
Wow.
It worked out fine, didn't it?
Yep. Right.
Because she did what the Lord said. That was in line with the Heavenly Father said, that the heir was going to come through Isaac, not Ishmael. So it's all there in the scriptures. Now, let's go to Proverbs 14. Let's go to Proverbs 14, and this is where we're going to start to turn it towards where women have the power to help the man, because that's why the woman was created. The woman was created to help the man in the man's mission in serving the Heavenly Father. In the mission to serve the Heavenly Father, his duty to serve God and keep the commandments, everything that was good was laid before us. But we turned our back on that to get this knowledge of evil, because we already had the knowledge of good. Read on.
Okay, Proverbs 14, what verse?
Verse 1.
Okay, 14:1, it says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands.
Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her own hands. So we're going to deal with the second part before we deal with the first part, because there are many, many women that's destroying their own households, and they think it's because of a man. Is a man that did this, the man that did that to me. But they're not looking at what role that they have in it all. They're not taking responsibility for their own actions. We read it. You have an adulterous woman. She eateth, wipe of her mouth. I mean, she does the act of adultery. She has a husband. She has a man. She go and cheat him and act like, I didn't do nothing wrong. So that's something that really has to change. It has to change. And one thing I want to look at is, how does the Lord view women like that? And it's not every day that we go to the Apocrypha, but I think in this occasion, it really calls for it. Let's go to Ecclesiasticus 26, and I want you to start at verse 22.
All right, Ecclesiasticus 26:22. And harlot shall be accounted as spittle, but a married woman is a tower against death to her husband.
It says a harlot shall be accounted as what? What's spittle?
A spit. The phlegm that's in your mouth that you don't want in your mouth, excess, that bodily fluid, you spew it out. So that's what that spew that's coming out your mouth, that's what the Heavenly Father just compared a woman that have whorish ways, that sleeps around, that tries to get the attraction of every man. And you might not even be sleeping around with every dude, but if you got that spirit on you, if you of trying to get everyone's attention by your dress, by the way your hair is, by the way anything that about you that provokes attention of men, why would you want all these men attention? That's the spirit of a harlot, and you are carrying yourself in the manner. Right, you're carrying yourself in the manner of what the scriptures is bringing out, a harlot woman.
So, in saying that, John, this is the saving grace, because it says a wicked woman, a harlot shall be accounted as spittle. So a harlot could be an adulterous woman, a woman laying down with another man that's not her husband. That's a harlot. That's a whore, right? A prostitute, a woman that's going out committing unlawful sexual acts. But remember what Christ said to the adulterous woman: "Go your way and sin no more." He forgave her. So this is what we're promoting: that women need to put off that we are the goddess image and put on the spirit of Christ, because all the things that they're doing out there, they can be forgiven of them, but they have to change and stop doing them and then follow their true Lord, which is Christ. Because women, you're serving a man one way or the other. You think you're not serving a man, but when you do these things, you think you're the goddess, you're serving a man, and his name is called Satan. What we're doing here today is to bring that out, bring that out of the darkness and bring it clear to you. When you say you're a diva, when you say, you're a strong, independent woman, you don't need no man, then all that's a satanic inspired thought and mentality. It's not of the Most High.
Right.
The scriptures tell you, the woman was created for the man. Then the scriptures tell you, without women, men could not be. So do we need one another? Of course we do. We were created to be together. We were created to enjoy paradise, not to be at one another's throats and necks and all this kind of crap. All right, so read on.
All right. Ecclesiasticus 26 and verse 23.
Mm.
A wicked woman is given as a portion to a wicked man.
So if women are finding themselves with men that are corrupt, they don't take care of their children, they just leave them with the baby, what does that say about women? That they're innocent?
No. It says, Lord is giving you to someone that you're rightly compatible with.
Right.
So,
go ahead.
So it's like the Lord is giving you the fruit of your doings. If you're doing wickedness, you're going to find wickedness.
Exactly.
But if you repent and put on the wisdom of the Heavenly Father, like it says, he ain't going to give you a snake when you ask for some food. In due time, the Heavenly Father, in his time, will select a man for you, and the Heavenly Father will give you that man. And vice versa, that righteous man, the Lord will give you that righteous woman in time, in his time.
Right. Just like the part it says, but a godly woman is given to him that feareth the Lord. So if a man fears the Lord, he's not going to beat or abuse his wife. But another thing, he ain't going to be that sensitive guy to put up with foolishness and wickedness that, you know, his wife is going to be dealing with, like Adam did. Instead of Adam telling, because Adam was not tricked at all. He knew exactly, nah, I'm not supposed to eat this apple. He knew exactly what he was doing. The woman, she was tricked. She was fooled. Adam wasn't. He went along with the program. And that happens to so many men and so many brothers out there, whether they be out the truth or in the truth, they go along with the wicked things that women do to appease them. And you're not supposed to appease a woman in wickedness. You're supposed to, look, that's not of the Lord. Well, I'll leave you. Well, you'll be leaving me then. I'll take your children. Well, you'll be taking my children then. But I'm going to serve the Lord. Because remember, the scripture says we're supposed to count all things a loss for Christ. That means that we lose father, mother, son, brother. Hey, it may hurt, but my love for Christ has to be stronger than any other love that I have for anything or anybody else. Because it's going to steer me always, all times, every hour of the day and night in the right direction and help me to make the right decisions. But many women use that emotional black male over, and that's why many women, they find evil and wicked men because they're evil and wicked themselves, and they have to repent. So read on. Next verse.
Okay, Ecclesiastes 26:23. A wicked woman is given as a portion to a wicked man, but a godly woman is given to him that feareth the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Read on.
A dishonest woman contemneth shame, but an honest woman will reverence her husband.
Yeah, dishonest woman contempteth shame. A woman that lies and she's deceitful, of course she's going to have shame. It's like sometimes you say one thing that's negative about a woman, women will jump down your back. I'm going to say what the truth is. Because guess what? The truth is more powerful than women. See, women have a lot of power. You read that in the scriptures where a woman could be with the king and go and slap the king in his mouth. Pow, 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 pow. Slap the king in his mouth, and the king like, I got to win her back. He can send armies and people to die and kill for him, but he tried to win for the love of a woman. Men will go out and fight a lion, a dragon, a bear, lions and tigers, oh my, for a love of a woman. Men will run out of their wits. So you tell me men ain't serving women? It's a saying that a brother says in the church, one of the bishops in the church, he says, a man, if he's not serving God, he's serving a woman. So women are, they think that they're the goddess because they have a lot of power in this world. So it keeps on speaking about a woman, a bad woman, and a good woman, and it's always showing the good woman as what? Respecting her husband. Because if she's respecting her husband, who's a man that feareth the Lord, then she's showing that love and honor towards the Heavenly Father. So read on.
Okay. Verse 25. A shameless woman shall be counted as a dog.
Ooh, women always call them men dogs. What's that saying? It takes one to know one. And people don't, they're not spiritual. So they can't make the association that if you offend God in any point, that's sin. It's like, well, I was faithful to him. I did this, that. But you were doing other things that the scriptures consider sin and wickedness. See, people can't put it together. Go ahead, read on. So, read on.
A shameless woman shall be counted as a dog, but she that is shamefaced will fear the Lord.
So, a shameless woman? We read about a shameless woman, a woman that committed adultery, wife, and said, I ain't done nothing wrong. That's someone that has no shame. These women, a lot of ways how they dress, like you was talking about, John, to draw attention to themselves. They're showing the breast cleavage. The dress is almost up to the back of the crack of their behind. Why are you doing that? What? That's shameful. That's not going into, you know, shamefacedness. It's not going into that having that godly image of a woman that's putting on godly works like Sarah, or having that specific attire of a godly woman. Read on.
Right. But it says, but she that is shamefaced will fear the Lord.
Mm.
So it's like, people think that shamefaced is like, I'm going to try to describe it in sound since we're on the phone. This and that. But a shamefaced, that's what people really think shamefaced means. But here, the scriptures are showing you a shamefaced woman is a woman that fears the Lord. It ain't going to do nothing silly to draw wickedness to herself. Like, I ain't going to dress like that because the Lord don't want me to dress like that, because that's going to make me look in a manner that's not of a one that fears the Lord. I'm not going to do this because that stuff is wickedness. That's shamefacedness. Shamefaced. I'm not going to do any wickedness. I'm going to hold myself in a manner of wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the Father. That's shame. That's a shamefaced woman. They think it's covering your head, and when you see men and going about like these societies got, like, I'm not to bring the example out, but some worlds shamefaced woman is to have a woman covered in a tarp, whatever the for example the Muslims wear, or whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's not shamefaced according to the Heavenly Father. The shamefaced woman is one with wisdom of the Heavenly Father and do what the Lord says.
Because believe it or not, they say that they wear those things so the men won't lust on a woman, become a woman. They still commit adultery in those countries. So it's a mentality. It's what's in your mind. It's what's in your heart. So read verse 26.
Okay, verse 26. A woman that honoreth her husband shall be judged wise of all.
Mm.
But she that dishonoreth him in her pride shall be counted ungodly of all.
So a woman that honor her husband, women aren't taught to honor their husband. They're not taught to honor men. They're told, girl, you better keep your little money on the side. You can go and spend up all your little money. He came to you broke. You had the money. Don't share your money with him. He have his own bank account. That's the kind of thing that's promoted on TV and television, you know, for us to be separate, for us to be against one another. It says, but she that dishonoreth him in her pride shall be counted ungodly of all. It's like women get props for dissing their husband. Women get props for dissing their man. And I've got an old clip. I'm going to play it. I got this old clip. I always play it when I be dealing with relationships and things like that. So I'm going to play this. Let me find it, because This is what is promoted on TV for how women to treat their men, especially in so-called black culture. Let's listen to it.
I think you're dealing with your ghetto baby mama.
Do you mind?
Excuse us.
And what the hell are you talking about, do you mind? Y'all ain't never seen black people on a train? You ain't never heard of the Underground Railroad?
It's like we got a ghetto Harriet Tubman.
You let my people go. You heard me?
Man,
she's drunk.
Yeah, we can tell.
Probably a 40.
Malt liquor.
You always have to embarrass me.
Look at you, Marcus. You are an embarrassment, okay? And I was fine till we dropped your kids off at Keisha's house.
She's their mother. What do you want me to do?
Be a man and tell her to stop talking to me like she crazy. I'm telling you, Marcus, if she looks at me one more time cross-eyed, I'm going to gut her like a fish.
She wasn't even looking at you.
How would you know? You weren't even on her face. You too busy staring at her ass.
Could you lay off of that for a while?
Could you go to hell for a while?
Already there.
Excuse me?
Nothing.
Do you mind? Fifi is trying to nap.
You know what? Well, Angela is trying to have a conversation with her husband. I'm about sick of y'all interrupting my conversation. I don't give a damn about Fifi. I heard those little smart-ass remarks you made, too. Didn't your mama teach you something? Who the hell are these people?
So, is that something that is shameful? Is that a shame-faced woman?
No.
No. But this is the image that, you know, women are shown this is a strong woman. She ain't taking no crap. She ain't taking no crap from no other woman. She ain't taking no crap from a man. She putting that man in a place. That's where he's supposed to be. Drink my bath water. How's a disgusting thing like that to show forth your love is to drink someone's bath water? Come on, man. That's not the spirit of Christ. But these are the images that's put out there, and that's accepted. No one says anything about it. The only thing, you know, we're the ones that talk about a lot of people, they're scared of women. Let's face it. A lot of men, they're scared of women. They can't deal with women on an emotional level. They can't deal with women. Oh, she's too emotional. Oh, I deal with that emotion. Oh, you start crying? Okay, what are you crying for? Just deal with the word of the Lord. The scriptures tell you how forceful are right words. And we know the right words is that the word of the Lord is right. So you're dealing with the woman. Look, I'm dealing with this Bible. I'm dealing with the scripture. He didn't do this, he didn't do it. Well, look, when you calm down, then we'll talk. And you go about your business into the corner of the house or into the wilderness, whatever you have to do, and you come back when she's going to be reasonable. Well, you know women, they're irrational. No. We're going to deal with these scriptures. See, most men, they want to go toe-to-toe and blow for blow with women, and what happened? They lose. You can't deal on that arena. You got to deal with the Most High in Christ because women have power in this world, but it's coming from Satan when they're dealing with that wickedness. Now, we're gonna flip it and show the last part, the last segment of the show, showing that women can use the things that the Lord has given them to be a helpmate and turn it back to the good. Don't you know? Because the scripture says the woman was created to be what? John, let me ask you. Abaji ain't got a good wife yet. He don't know the benefits yet. He's trying to get his membership card. Was Lord willing, we hope he's going to get sometime soon. But, John, you married, man. Who was a woman created for, according to the scriptures?
Scripture says, for a helpmeet for her husband.
Yeah.
Okay. So the husband will have someone where he won't be alone, that he can live out his life with. You know what I mean? And that fear, both of them fear the Heavenly Father.
Well, in this world, it's like the man was created to help the woman. If a man said, you know what, I'm going to do this. This is going to be my ambition, and I'm going to do that. No, you can't do that. I'm seeing so many damn TV shows, and, yeah, I said damn because they are damn because they're not telling you about the truth. I see so many damned TV shows where the man is trying to do something in his life or do something good for his family, and the woman's blocking it. Block. I'll give you a story, and I showed this brother the scripture, and I was telling him the scriptures, and he was telling me, he's like, man, you know, I was trying to do this, and I was trying to get this money for my family, and my wife was telling me, nah, you shouldn't do that, and different reasons, and he's like, he missed out on like 50,000 pounds or whatever because he listened to his wife. She wasn't backing him up. She discouraged him. So that happens so many times, but the women are supposed to help us in the ministry, in the fight of the gospel, to be good soldiers in Christ. And they're supposed to join us in serving the Lord. But many times women have their own agenda. But let's see. Let's see. What can women do good? We've talked about a lot of things and different powers that women have that are bad. But what things that they can do that's good? Let's stay in that same chapter of Ecclesiasticus and read 26 verse 1.
26 and 1, Ecclesiastes 26 and 1, blessed is the man that hath a virtuous wife, for the number of her days shall be double.
For the number of her days?
For the number of his days shall be double.
So check that out. The woman has the power in Christ to double the years of a man's life. The woman has the power to double the years of, I guess that's why men die sooner than women. They have too many problems. But it says a virtuous woman who's in Christ, who's keeping the commandments, is going to make that man live longer than what he should. So if your time, maybe the man's time, you know, however the time period was, if you have a virtuous woman, it's going to extend his lifetime. Why? What does the Bible say that a virtuous woman is doing that's so good? Does the scriptures tell us about a virtuous woman and what she's doing for this man to make him live so long? Does it?
Good dog.
Yes. You want to go?
Can I answer that real quick with the scripture?
Yes, you can. Go ahead, brother. I know you trying. I know you trying to get that marriage card, brother. And just saying that we make fun, but the brother Abaja, you know, he's engaged to be married, and Lord's will, maybe someday soon, or sometime soon, that's going to come in fruition. But go ahead, brother.
All right, this is Proverbs chapter 31, and I'm going to start at verse 10, because we're asking a question about, you know, we're dealing with the virtuous woman. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Proverbs 31. And how is she going to make the man's life longer?
Yeah.
Double. It said double. Read on.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to read some of those things from the 31st chapter. I'm going to start at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. So we already found out when we was reading the Apocrypha that a virtuous woman is given to a virtuous man. So you're not going to find her. She has to be given to you as a Heavenly Father.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just real briefly, that what that looks like in the sense is that, listen, you as a man understand that, hey, Christ is my head and I'm going to serve the Lord. And a woman herself, outside of a man, outside of her husband, understands for herself that she is going to serve the Heavenly Father. And that's what brings you two on one accord.
Mm.
That's how she's given to you. But anyway, reading on. Verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So there's your answer. This is how a man's days are extended, or how they're doubled. Because he's trusting that his wife, that they're basically, they're on one accord in the scriptures. And let's not get it twisted. Because 1 Corinthians 7 talks about the troubles of the flesh that you're going to have when you're married. Then, you know, people get this idea of, oh, well, I'm in the Bible, my wife is in the Bible, and we're just going to have a happy life and have no problems. No, you're going to have problems. But what you have with the image of Christ in your life and following that image of repentance is that you have the ability to deal with those problems according to the scriptures and move along. You have the foundation set, that you can allow yourselves to go into the emotions and the things that cause your life to be shortened. Okay. So mm-hmm. Back to you, brother.
Yeah, I mean, read some more things in that Proverbs. Don't be telling it too short. Keep it going. Come on.
Okay, let me read on, because the other thing I just wanted to touch on briefly, too, was the thing that the whole perception that a godly woman is so-called mousy. She doesn't stand up for herself. She's uneducated. She's just a baby-making machine.
I mean, if you read Proverbs 31, it will address a lot of those different points. Because it shows that a virtuous woman is powerful. She ain't no
very
slouch.
Powerful.
She ain't no slouch. Read on.
Okay. Verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's
ship. She's not lazy. She's taking care of her business in her house. Read on. She worketh willingly with her hands. Oh, I'm doing this for this man, and you don't appreciate me. And she's doing it because she loves her husband and she loves her family. Read on.
She's like the merchant.
I use the Chris Rock saying. Chris Rock got this saying about men. And it's like, you know, men will say, yeah, I'll take care of my kids. It's like, you want a reward for that? You're supposed to take care of your kids. So women are like, well, I'll take care of my husband. You're supposed to love your husband. You're supposed to take care of your children. You don't get a reward for that. This was required of you. He'll pat you on your back. You took care of your kids. Yeah, you're a good black man. No, you're supposed to take care of your children. So it's the same thing for the woman. You're supposed to love your husband and entreat him well and reverence him and give him the good things that the Lord has given you to give unto him, that soft and that tenderness and that love. You're supposed to give that to your husband. He ain't supposed to pay a fee. Read on.
All right.
She worked willingly with her hands. Read on.
14. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also.
I describe my wife. She go to different, you know, shops. She may go somewhere close. She may go somewhere far away. And I know other sisters that do that. They go on shopping to make sure that their houses are provided for. That's a woman of virtue. Read on.
Right. It says, where did I stop at? 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens.
Right. She's feeding her family. Read on. She rises when it's early. And I know my wife and many other sisters in Christ, they're doing the same things that's married. They're getting up. They're dealing with the children, getting them right. You know, the husband getting ready for work. You know, go ahead.
She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard.
Right. So she's not no dummy. She's considering a field. Like, okay, this is a good field. This is gonna. So that she's not no dummy. And her husband trusting her with the money, like, yo, she just went out and spent all the money to get her hair and nails done. He trusts her. Like, I know my wife going to deal with the money right. Not, we got a separate bank account. You spend your money, I got mine. No, it wasn't like that. The husband had complete trust and faith in his wife. Read on.
All right. Verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms.
Right. She ain't no little weak sister. She's doing the things that she has to do for her household. Not like she a body. It's not talking about her being a bodybuilder, but she's putting herself to take care of her house. Because so many women pay that, I'm just so tired, and, you know, there's nothing I can do. I'm just tired. The virtuous woman isn't doing it. I got to take care. Look, I got to deal with these children. I got to deal with this house. I got to deal with my husband. There's things I got to do. That's what it's talking about. She ain't just sitting by idle. Because you know what the scripture says. Idleness teaches much evil. Because women are like that, sitting around, what are they doing? Gossip about somebody's business in somebody's house they ain't supposed to be, or out in the street looking for some other man, looking for some kind of excitement. Read on.
She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night.
Mm.
She layeth her hands to the spindle. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distance.
So those are different tools for sewing. Read on. So she's sewing up clothes. Read on.
She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy.
Right. So she's kind. She's helpful. Read on.
She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet.
Right. So it doesn't matter what the weather is. She's going to be still doing the good things for her house. Read on.
She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple.
Read on.
Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land.
And that's partly because of her. Because many people know, like, look, if there's drama going on in a person's house, do people know?
Mm.
Do people know? Yes, they do, man. Yeah. That brother boy and his house boy, that woman hell on wheels, boy. Or vice versa. Oh, so-and-so, man, he out there, boy, he just creeping. He dealing with Sally. He dealing with Joe. He dealing with Tanika. He dealing with everybody. Boy, that girl, boy. But this guy, he's known in the gates because what? He has a virtuous woman. Why? Because he's a virtuous man. He's a man of the Lord. Read on.
She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant.
Mm. So she's doing, well, obviously, she's making money and bringing money in. She ain't talking about, this is for me, this is my money. What's yours is mine and what's mine. That's not a mentality. She's doing this for her house. Read on.
Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come.
So it says strength and honor is her clothes. So this is speaking about a virtuous woman. A righteous woman, that loud crying woman, that's not the image of a strong woman. The image of a strong woman is a woman that serves God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the most powerful woman on earth. That image of that satanic woman, that woman with the loud mouth, that's the woman that's counted as a dog. That's the woman that's counted as spit. That's not the honorable woman. A woman that's taking care of her husband and her family, and she's doing the commandments, that's the woman that women should aspire to be like. Read on. But that's not the woman that they show. Read on.
Look at you, Marcus. Look at you.
Read on. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. Let me read that again. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness.
Mm. She opened her mouth with wisdom. So what is the wisdom? What is our wisdom? and our understanding. I'm going to get it and read it real quick. This is Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter and the fifth verse. So when this woman opened her mouth, is it like that what the woman was saying on the train? Or is it like this? This is Deuteronomy 4 and 5. But behold, this is Deuteronomy 4th chapter and the 5th verse. Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So when this sister opened her mouth, she opened her mouth with the words of Christ, because Christ said, I will show you who is a wise man, he that heareth my words and doeth them. So when this sister opened her mouth, she's opened her mouth and she's dealing with the scriptures. She ain't dealing with her emotions. Oh, I'm just so hurt, this, that. I can't forgive you. No, Christ said, forgive. Christ said, if your enemies do wrong, bless them that curse you. Be kind to those that despitefully use you and abuse you. Love your enemy. That's what Christ said. So that's how she's going to be dealing. Not some vindictive woman with all this different baggage on her. That's why we have to come to Christ, so that we can be renewed in the spirits of our minds. Read on.
And just as a side note, Godwin, there are just to note two examples in the scriptures as far as how women dealt with that wisdom and in that kindness. And even going into verse 27 about looking well to the way of the household, because you had that situation with Sarah and Abraham, where Sarah understood that the promise and the covenant and it was supposed to go with Isaac and not Ishmael, but Abraham wanted to keep Ishmael around. And Sarah was like, no, send him away. And the more than the heavenly father came in and said, no, send him away. Listen to your wife.
Right.
So she didn't have to get all disrespectful and, you know, just come out sideways out of her mouth or anything like that. When it came to dealing correctly, because it says how forceful are right words. So if a woman is dealing with a man who truly wants to honor the Lord, when he's not doing what he's supposed to do, and she steps in to remind him and be that help meet for him, like the scripture says, then he's going to recover, be able to recover himself out of that error.
Right, because she's going to show him the ultimate wisdom that they all both agree on, which is the scriptures, which is the Bible. That's the wisdom that we all supposed to be dealing with. Not the world's wisdom, but many people and many women, because this is the topic today, many women are dealing with world's wisdom that's set for the destruction. Right. So, read on. Finish it on out.
Okay. Oh, but also, I have to give another example, Abigail and Nabal. How Abigail and Nabal, basically, how David was taking care of Nabal's sheep when he was on the run from Saul. And when he went to Nabal, like, hey, you know, I just need some things to, you know, take care of myself and my men, and we'll move on. Nabal said, I ain't giving you jack squat. So Nabal didn't deal right with David, but Abigail came back and dealt right with David, and not only saved Nabal from being put to death by David, but what happened? The Heavenly Father dealt with Nabal because he didn't want to deal right.
Yeah. So in saying that, if your man ain't dealing right and you are dealing right by the Heavenly Father in Christ, the Lord will sort that man out. The Lord will go so far even to kill that man if you're doing the Lord's commandments and he's doing something to harm you or hurt you. So where is our faith supposed to be? It's supposed to be in Christ. It's supposed to be in the scriptures, because the scriptures are going to steer us right. So read on.
All right. Now, coming back, verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness.
Go ahead.
Children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband
women supposed to be in the house just doing nothing. You ever watch that children that show, what's it called? The one with Al Bundy. And he had
Married with Children.
Yeah, Married with Children. All she did was watch soaps and eat bonbons all day. He was always, that's not what a woman's supposed to do. She's supposed to be there to help. Read on.
Okay. I'm gonna read 28 again. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her.
Right. So you're going to be praising her for the right reasons. Not, oh, baby, your hair look good. Oh, baby, your butt. Oh, baby, your thong song drum. But that's not the reason why you're going to be praising her. You're going to be praising her that she's a woman of the Lord and that what the Lord has given them such a great gift. So read on, because I want to get through this and go to somewhere else real quick.
Okay. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Mm. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised.
Read on.
Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Right. So the scripture is telling you, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Because many women in this world, they are shown favor. They are shown the favor. When it comes to dealing with the children and stuff, women are given the benefit of the doubt, and they're giving the children over the man. The man could be a good father. Women could be a horrible mother. In most cases, they'll still give the children to the mother. It's like, well, the children gravitate towards their mother, so we're going to give it to. So favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Women think, oh, because of my looks, I can get what I want. That's vanity. Because the scriptures tell you, as gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman without discretion. So a woman could be beautiful, but if she don't have the word of the Lord, she's just abominable and disgusting as a pig. The pig says don't even touch the carcass of a dead pig or swine, not to eat it because it's an abomination to the Lord. So if a woman, she's not dealing with the Lord, she could be the most beautiful woman on the earth, but she's not dealing with the scriptures. What's inside of her is Satan. So the woman that is of the Lord, that feareth the Lord, she's the one that's going to be praised and elevated. That's why so many worldly women, you can tell they got that worldly image on them, because when the scriptures start coming out, we start talking about women, them demons start coming off of them. Instead of saying, you know what, that's right, I got to turn myself to the Heavenly Father in Christ. But there's one thing I want to talk about before we close out the show, is women in the church. Because women have taken power. The scripture says man is supposed to have the power. But women have taken power over in the church. And I just want to address that before we end out. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2 and 9. Let's start there.
1 Timothy 2:9.
Mm-hmm.
In the like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with mm-hmm. shamefacedness and mm-hmm. sobriety.
Uh-huh.
Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which
right.
but which becometh women professing godliness.
So now it's not talking about a woman couldn't, you know, wear things to make herself beautiful. It's talking about that's not supposed to be the paramount thing that was supposed to beautify you. The paramount thing that was supposed to beautify you is all the things that we read in Proverbs 31. That's the thing that was a woman that was supposed to be praised for, a woman that feared the Lord. But many women are looking at what? The beauty of how I got my hair done or how I do this. This is what they're looking for to seek elevation and praise from the world. So read on.
Right. Verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection.
Ooh.
But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the men, but to be in silence.
So this is what women want. Women don't want to be equal. Don't get it twisted. Women don't want to be equal with men. They want to have the power over the man. Why do you think men bow to women when they actually get married? Baby, can I marry you? Will you be my wife? You don't see that in the scriptures? That's satanic as hell. We're not supposed to bow before no man and no woman. We're supposed to bow before Christ and submit ourselves to the law, statutes, and commandments. But women want power over men, even in the church. But the Lord says what? Woman to learn in silence and to be under subjection. Be under subjection under who? Under the man, as a man is under subjection of Christ. Now, quickly, go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34.
But you know what? One more thing, too, bro?
Yes.
That we read these scriptures here. Now, how is it that in 2012 we got women ministers and women calling themselves prophetesses over congregations of men? That if you're one of these women, you hearing this show, it's time to repent, because that's not of the Heavenly Father. All of that stuff is wickedness. If you really love the Lord like you say you do, apply these scriptures that the Lord gave us to apply.
Right.
So you got to humble yourself down. You got to be in silence. And you got to put that madness off. Though this world is emboldening you and giving you power and think that you can be in that position. That stuff is off
when you read the word of the Heavenly Father, it's time to repent.
Now, we're going to go into a little bit of extra time, so if you want to get on the show, you're going to have to call in. So the call-in number is 646-716-7749. You got about a minute and a half. So you want to listen to the few last scriptures that we're going to go into, you're going to have to call in. Once again, that call-in number is 646-716-7749. So you may make it, you may not make it, but we hope you make it. But read 1 Corinthians 14 and 34.
1 Corinthians 14:34. Let your women keep silence in the churches. What is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law.
So does that mean that women can't ask questions in the church?
No, that's no.
What is that talking about?
He's not delegating authority. Okay, brother so and so, you go do this. Brother so and so, you go do that. All that. That's not her position. That's not how the Heavenly Father created her to be.
Paul is establishing order in the church. Because what? He wouldn't be writing this unless there was disorder in the church. So he's writing this to establish order. Already in Corinthians, he had to deal with the order already. Three chapters before, right?
Right.
So obviously there was having issues. Because in the ancient world, in that time, who were they worshiping? Diana of the Ephesians. Diana, the goddess. So I had to look. No, look, this is how the Lord has set up this thing and how it's supposed to run. The man is the head of the woman. Christ is the head of the man. The man is the head of the woman. And the head of Christ is God. That is the order. Now he's established the order in the churches. Because what? There was disorder in the churches. He said, look, let the woman keep silent. He already told Timothy, who was a young bishop, this is how things are supposed to run. When y'all come together, let the woman learn in silence. She can ask questions, but she's not supposed to be usurping authority and power over the man. That's out of order. So read on.
Okay, verse 35 now.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home.
So how out of order is that? Here you have your husband, but now you're going to go and deal with another man to get counsel, to get advice. And Satan knows that just calls up that causes demons, spirits, bad. Hell, you always listen to your pastor. You never listen to me. How many times did that happen? Then you come to find out who's laying with your wife is the damn pastor. He gave me some good advice, girl. He just know everything. You're supposed to go to your husband. You and your husband learn. You know, I got a question about that. You know, the teacher or the pastor, the minister was talking. So what's going on with that? You're supposed to build that relationship with your husband. You're not supposed to come out. I'm going to learn from myself. Hell with you. Hell with my husband. And so many times it happens because it's that mentality that's in the world. Women think they're the goddess. And you're not. There's only one God, and he's the one whom we are supposed to serve. The whole duty of man is to serve God and to keep his commandments. And the Lord is showing us how to do that in all shapes, forms, and fashions, in our marriages, in our relationships, as brothers, as sisters, as men and women. So read on. If she learned anything, let her ask her husband at home. Let her deal orderly. Let her show that reverence towards a husband. But in this world, women are taught from birth not to reverence men, not to show men any respect, that they're just born evil, bad, wicked. They're going to mistreat you and abuse you. That's how men are viewed. So read on. Right. Read more on that.
Yeah, verse 35, the last part, it says, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church.
So it's like you were saying, John, men, women are not supposed to be the guides of the church. They're not supposed to be the minister, the teachers, or the leaders. We're not saying that they can't tell no one about Christ, because they're supposed to tell one's people about Christ. They're just not supposed to have that power over men in the church. Now, in closing off, let's go to Titus, the second chapter. Because here's where it's telling women to teach and who they're supposed to teach, and women have been neglecting their job. And we're going to see how they have been neglecting your job.
And here we go, Titus 2. And we're going to start at what verse?
Start from verse 1.
Okay. Titus 2 and 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise.
It wasn't a different standard for the women. They were supposed to be doing the same things like the men were doing. How they were supposed to be, you know, sound in faith and to serve the Heavenly Father and Christ. Read on.
That they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things.
Read on. Teachers of good things. Let's see what they were supposed to teach. Read on.
That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands.
Not to be a bunch of drunks and going to the club and getting drunk. Oh, I slept with him. I didn't mean to do it. I was drunk. Don't be a drunk. That's what the aged women, the women that have understanding in Christ, they're supposed to be teaching the young woman not to go out, oh, you're a teenager and you're supposed to have fun and you can't marry the first man you fall in love with and just all that kind of foolishness that they teach in the world. What are they supposed to teach? They're supposed to behave themselves correctly and then teach the younger women to behave themselves. So read that, John.
All right. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands.
To what?
To love their husbands.
No, to hate them, to diss them.
No, it's
to what? To love
their husbands.
Now, people have a twisted version of love. Love hurt. Where did it say that? Where does it say that love's supposed to hurt you? The scripture says love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So love is never supposed to hurt you. It's supposed to make you feel good. It's supposed to make you feel at ease. It's supposed to make you have that peace. You want more of it. It's not like, oh, I'm in love and it's just hurting me so bad. I want to be hurt some more. That's not love. That's what Satan is telling you that love is. But the Most High is telling you love is not there to hurt. It's there to heal. It's there to help. It's there to be with you. That's not what it was for. Charity suffereth long. If you have that charity of love, you're not going to be soon angry with the woman that you love or the man that you love. You're not going to be, oh, I love this person, but now you're calling him a bitch. Oh, I love this person, but he's just a dirty dog. No, you're not going to do that. But people turn on one another so quickly. Did you really love that person at all? No, because you haven't taught what true love is according to what the Bible says. So read on.
And then also to love her husbands, to love their husbands, those aged women are going to tell them, listen, if your husband is coming out of the word of the Heavenly Father and he's correcting you, that's charity, that's love,
right.
You got to listen to him. They're exhorting this woman that if this man's coming out of the book of the Heavenly Father and his verse scripture with the understanding behind it correctly, you got to listen to him. Because that's love. That's, look, you going off, young lady. That's what you doing is wickedness. And you got to begin to love your husband because he's loving Christ and the Heavenly Father and doing what's supposed to be done.
You know, women like that, they call them your old school. It's like old fashioned for a woman to listen to her husband in anything. In anything. Even if he's coming for the scripture, that's old fashioned. No, it's what's right. If he's telling you the things that are correct from the scriptures, then you should. That's what an aged woman is going to tell this young woman, to love her husband. What was the next part?
To love their children.
To love their children. You know how many women are neglecting their children because they want to go to a club and have fun? But the virtuous woman, well, she was dealing with her children. That's where she was spending her time. That's, oh, you think you just my life and everything. That's what it's supposed to do. You know, when you get married and you have a husband, you have children, that becomes part of your life. It becomes the biggest part of your life. But people want to throw it all away. That's what Satan wants you to do. And you're like, why is my life so messed up? Can you mess it up? Read on.
Right. And then also, brother, it's loving their, teach them to how to correctly love their children because they might have
a way in their minds that they think this is the way a child is to be raised. But when we see it's evident that that child is out being rebellious to a degree, being out of how not the scriptures say, you know, that folly is in them, and the scriptures show you how to correct and mold and bring up your child, they're supposed to be like, look, you're not teaching your kid right. But when you see this madness, you letting that kid slide on this particular issue.
Right.
You're not loving your kid. It's time to whip that kid behind. It's time to give that child correction. It's time to give that kid whatever he needs, that chastisement, because that's the love. And you're not loving your child the way the scriptures say. That elder woman is showing that this woman that's new in these scriptures, that's learning the way of Christ, or just a plain physically young child woman, that look, that stuff's off, and you got to get in the path to correctly love your child. That's showing the person right.
Right. And sisters know that they know those different demons that they face, so they can give the counsel to help other women to deal with those things, whether it be, when it says love your husband, part of loving your husband is submitting to your husband and listen to him as he's telling you about Christ and things, as he's the head of the house and leading the family and everything in the Lord. Then it's like, no, I know, you know, what the world, it says, you know, women can advise and help the women to deal with those things, to deal with those spirits as they come from this worldly state and come into the spirit of Christ and live into a righteous state and give them counsel and advice. And that's going to help the man. Because, John, you're a teacher, and you can teach women on what how they're supposed to deal with their husband. But isn't that help when your wife does that and she's, you know, dealing with sisters, and that helps you to deal with other things you need to deal with, doesn't it?
Yeah, certainly does.
So we're all dealing with the Word of Heavenly Father, but it's an order and establishment. When it comes to the Bible and churches, throw the Bible out, we do it our way. No, it doesn't work.
Yeah, look what our way got us, bro. The same mothers, the same fathers want to do it their way. Look where all our children at. It's like prison and college for our children because we doing it our way.
Yep, exactly. So read on.
Verse 4, it says, Verse 3. The aged woman, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, verse 5, to be discreet.
Mm.
Okay.
So it's not supposed to be out there showing your backside. have discretion. And that's one thing, you know, women, they taught that they're goddess, you know, I'm the goddess, I can dress how I want to do, and women showing their breasts and all kinds of crazy stuff. To have discretion, be discreet. I know my grandmother, you know, she used to complain about the women of today, this modern age. She's like, man, you know, my grandmother used to tell me when she was growing up, she's like, look, her mother and her grandmother used to tell her, look, you have to leave something for the imagination. Don't show them everything, baby. You know what I'm saying? Women just display everything. There's nothing left. It's just like, I seen her titty, I seen her butt, I seen everything. I don't want that old dirty titty now. You know, leave something for your husband for the wedding night. He done already seen everything. Go ahead.
To be discreet, chaste, keep us at home.
Mm. So to keep us at home, we read that what? The woman who was dressed in the attire of the harlot, she wasn't a keeper at her home. So it's the complete reverse, how the reverse virtuous woman was the one who was a keeper at home, meaning she was dealing with her house, meaning she wasn't in the house, she just locked up in the house, you know. Just lock up, won't let me out. That's not the vision of a woman that the scriptures has. The vision of a woman that the scriptures has is that she's a powerful woman to help the man in serving the Lord so that we can enjoy the good things that the Heavenly Father has put on this earth for us. But why do we suffer? It's because we've turned our back on the Heavenly Father in Christ. So read on.
Yeah, to be discreet, chaste, keep us at home good.
Chaste. Chase means to have morals, to have morals. And that's one thing they're showing these women, you know, for you to get what you want, you have to use what you got. And that's talking about a woman's feminine wiles. And that's not what the scriptures telling a woman to be chaste, not to be a goddess and, you know, your Gaia, your Mother Earth and all this kind of foolishness that they're telling women. No, That's just all. Right. That's all satanic lies to destroy you, your husband, and your family. That's what Satan wants. Go ahead.
Keep us at home.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Obedient to their own husbands.
Hell no. You just heard. That's what probably a million, billion women across the earth just say, hell no. Listen, no, man. Obedient to your husbands. Why are we supposed to be obedient to your husband? Because your husband was going to be obedient to Christ. A man of the Lord is going to be. This is talking about a man of the Lord. We're telling you to be obedient to your husband. It's not talking about a wicked drug dealer, man who's beating, slapping up his wife. It's not talking about that. It's talking about a man that feared the Lord. That's who you're supposed to be obedient to. Because a man that feared the Lord, he's going to give his life for you. Just like Christ gave his life for the church. This speaks about it in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. That's what it talks about, a true marriage. The true marriage is like Christ with the church. Christ gave his life for the church. And the husband, he's going to love his wife even as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. So that's the man that you're supposed to be obedient to. But many women, they're going out following this simple man that's void of understanding. They think they're the goddess. And like, I'm so godly and powerful. How I get this Negro that don't know a damn thing, that don't have a high school education, don't have a job? How did I find him? You wonder. Read on.
Right. That the word of God be not blasphemed.
That the word of God be not blasphemed. So it's speaking to those that are in Christ that they're doing their best to follow Christ, because if you don't do those things, you call God a liar. You call him, you know, what he's saying in the scriptures is not true. And that's what you're showing people. You say, I'm a Christian. I follow the Bible. Why are you disrespecting your man? Why you got, you know, three baby fathers? Why is that? You blaspheming the word of God. Why you always got problems with your husband? You blaspheming the word of God. Because if you have problems with your husband, you can resolve them through the scriptures. The scriptures speak a whole lot about conflict resolution. So the scriptures show us how to resolve issues in a marriage, in a friendship. It shows us so that we can have peace, because that's what the Lord has called us to, is peace and not confusion. So
I was going to say, and the deciding factor is you listeners, or we listeners. We got to make that decision whether we want to go that way or not. But let it be known, if we don't choose that way, hell is our home. And destruction is going to be our best friend. Because you're not choosing the ways of sound wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You're not choosing repentance. You're choosing your philosophies of your own mind.
Right. So I want to end it on this. And I'm going to read this scripture. This is, before I end it off, do you brothers have anything in closing?
No, I'm good.
No, that was it, bro. It's just that we got to do what the scriptures say and put off the stupidity. I'm going to call it what it is, the stupidity in our minds, man. We got to come, like the scripture says, that he thinks he know anything, don't know ought, like he ought to know. We got to realize that all this world mentality, the things of this subject we talking of right now is the woman, the power of the woman. That stuff is crazy. And it's time for us to leave off of that and begin to put on the elements of Christ.
Mm. Well, we said a lot of things about the woman, but I just want to make this thing. I'm married, so it's not like I'm, you know, I've got a vendetta or got baggage on my back and I just, you know, I want to speak against women. These are relevant points. And they have to be addressed. Like Isaiah 58 says, you know, cry aloud, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and tell Jacob and Israel the sins that they committed. And don't spare. So we don't spare, because a lot of women are caught up into these traps, and they've been tricked from Satan from the beginning of time even until now. But in saying that, I want to read this in closing. This is 1 Corinthians the 7th chapter in the 3rd verse. It says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife have not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband have not power of his own body, but the wife. So what are they? One.
Come back. I'm
flesh.
Okay. Can you come back in about an hour?
Cool.
Yeah. One flesh in Christ. That's what we're supposed to be. And if you jump down, if we jump down to, let's see, where do I want to go?
What you trying to find?
Oh, it's in 1 Corinthians 11. I'm looking at the wrong chapter. 1 Corinthians 11. And verse 8. It says, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." So the woman is here for the man to help the man in his service of God, his duty to serve God. So it's not for the man to abuse a woman, but listen to the next point. It says, "For this cause ought the woman to have power in her head because of the angels." It says, "Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man. For as the man is of the woman, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God." So men and women, we need one another. A man is not supposed to bow down to a woman because she's crying, because she's lying, because she have these different satanic powers. We all supposed to serve God in as one flesh, as men and women that's married under the Lord. So we have to repent and come back to the Lord. And with that, we say shalom. We hope you enjoyed the show. I mean, if people have problems, then call us and we'll help you. We'll show you the scriptures. And we're not going to be trying to get any money for you to buy a prayer cloth or anything. We're just going to show you the scriptures as we have been shown. So we give all praises to the Heavenly Father in Christ. And until next time, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Make up, we've been through a lot of things. How do you feel that?